Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Donald Trump is calling himself the father of the vaccine, I kid you not, while attacking Ron DeSantis, and that greatly complicates things. Today on the Prophecy News Podcast, if you thought the 2016 election was a wild and crazy ride, that all might just pale in comparison to what's on the table for 2024. For Donald Trump, his path to the White House is obstructed by a number of things, including having to take on the wildly popular Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Already, Trump has started to take shots at DeSantis, and the potential for that backfiring on him is set at nearly 100%. Not only that, but Trump has decided to trumpet the fact that he is the one who is responsible for creating the COVID gene editing injection, vaccine. Now, how well will that play out? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." On this episode, We're going to do it. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, my body is weary from COVID and my throat raw from endless coughing, but the Lord put on my heart to start taking raw Manuka honey, and it's helping. So here we go into the breach to catch up on all the breaking news that took place over the weekend. And things are in an unholy mess, as you might expect. Israel suffered under multiple terror attacks. The United States pushes ever closer to a nuclear war with Russia. Ukraine is begging for billions more in money laundering, in aid. Canada is working on making hardcore drugs like meth and heroin legal. And Donald Trump is running for president as the father of the COVID vaccine. Now I ask you, what could possibly go wrong? All this and more on today's Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Heavenly Father. We come before you and, Lord, we're tired, we're weary, but we're excited because we're another day closer to the rapture. Today, we lift up Annetta and ask for prayers for a complete healing and the ability to walk again. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs our prayer. Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, and Reagan Gorzel are all expecting. And we pray that the deliveries for all three of those women will go well. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke. We're praying for him. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, and we're praying for him for a healing. Obviously, we're praying for my cough and for my throat, and I appreciate those prayers very, very much. Kate is asking for prayer concerning her housing situation. Cindy Kettlecamp sent me a message this morning. "Thank you for praying for Peggy's son, Matthew, and for daughter, Heidi. Please keep them on the prayer list." Amen. We will. Mark Saxa is praying that his son Joseph would return to the Lord. Charlie Kammerman, prayers for recovery after having hip surgery. Laura Campoy is still mending from a motor scooter accident, and we're praying for her. Madison's grandbaby Addie has RSV and is still in the hospital. Clayton Perry, he's suffering from the side effects of chemo, and he had a broken bone a couple of weeks ago. We're praying for him. Sarah Riddle's husband has COVID, and she does as well. And we're praying that a healing will come to their family. The LaPiana family has an unspoken prayer request. Craig Alford needs prayer regarding pancreatic cancer. Linda's sister, Marianne, was admitted to the hospital. She has COVID, was feeling better, but now she's feeling worse. And then we have an update on that. She is doing better and may be going home. So we're praying for Marianne for a complete healing. Barbara Gordon just got out of the hospital and came to the bookstore on Saturday. Amen. She would like prayers for the continued improvement of her health and a closer walk with God. Also prayers for her six children, 14 grandchildren, and 15 great-grandchildren. And we're also praying that our 20,000 new Twitter followers will make their way to these broadcasts and that many will get saved. Trisha says, maybe today, made a post last night that his wife was diagnosed with cancer. That's his name in the chat room, maybe today. Don't know his real name, but we need to pray. Absolutely. Palmetto State guy, please continue to pray for my mother Eunice with a stroke. She's back in the hospital with an infection. Thank you for all the prayers. Jeanette says, please pray for my caregiver, ice covering roads, and she's scared to drive on it. Catherine B., she says, I'm in dialysis. Prayers for a heart stent placement tomorrow. Amen, sister. We absolutely are praying for you. Many people are asking prayers for me to be healed from this nasty, nasty cough. And I covet your prayers and I appreciate them very much. Sarah says her husband tested negative today. Well, that was quick. And what a blessing that is. Regina Danner, Linda on the way in her healing. Joy still needs prayer for finances and upcoming surgery on Friday. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we commit this time to you. We're in awe of you. And Lord, hear our prayers. And your people need a healing, Lord. And God, this may be a strange thing to say, but I thank you for giving me COVID. And I thank you for this cough, Lord. And the reason why I do is I want to thank you for reminding me of the struggle that so many people go through every single day. And Lord, thank you for touching me with this little bit of an affliction. It's nothing compared to so many of the things that we're praying for, colon cancer and healing from strokes and all those things. But God, I thank you for giving me a touch of infirmity and seeing me through this process and reminding me, God, that our lives are held in your hand every single day. And we wake up because you wake us up. Our hearts beat because you commanded them to be set in motion. And Lord, I'll thank you in the rain. I'll thank you in the sunshine. I'll thank you in the good times and the bad times. Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. And God, you're just good to us. And hear these prayers and answer these prayers, Father God. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. And if you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Amen. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth unto all generations. And Father God, we are your people. We are your born again, redeemed, adopted children. And we're glad today, Father God, that you have given us another day to praise your name. Another day to get something done for you that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, we are thankful and we're grateful. Give us all the touch that we need today, Lord. For the infirmity of the flesh, for the infirmity of the mind, for the infirmity of finances and family situations and relationships. You touch it all, God, and you make it better. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the thanks and the praise, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll be right back after this.
To the guy who left the pamphlet on the midnight Greyhound bus that asked me if I knew where I was going. To the late night TV preacher when I couldn't sleep a wink, reminding me there's peace for those who know him. To the kid who wore the T-shirt that said Elvis is cool, but Jesus is the one. Single night playing songs to reach the non-believers. To the little white-haired lady who works at the sack and save, who always says God bless you when you see her. To the mom and dad who spent a lifetime on their knees so dear, I wish I'd told them more while they were here. I want to thank you for the witness you have been. I want to thank you for reminding me of him, for the way you're not ashamed to show your face.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank you.
Amen, Lord. Bruce Bridges has a prayer request. He says, please pray for my son Samuel. He's been sick for a week, not with COVID. So please pray for Bruce Bridges' son Samuel. Erad Bursch. Praise report, the Lord gave us a baby girl on the 22nd of January. Her name is Maranatha Gallia. Plus, God gave me a King James Bible. Amen, brother. And Erad says that he's been praying for a King James Bible for a couple of years now. He is rejoicing with the Lord, and we are rejoicing with him. You know what? Speaking of the King James Bible, Psalm 68, verse 11. Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. And all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, it talks about sending out the word of God. And I have a little bit of an update today. You remember all those Bibles that we gave out to the St. Lucie prison last year? 1,644 Bibles. We gave out 1,500 English Bibles. We gave out 100 Spanish. And we gave out 44 Ruckman Reference Bibles. Well, I got this letter today that was sent to me through the chaplain at the prison, the assistant chaplain at the prison. Her name is Virginia. And this was from the mother of one of the inmates. I would like to thank you for the kindness that you showed to my son while he was a resident at Rock Road. That's what they call the Port St. Lucie prison. It's called Rock Road because it's on Rock Road. And this man's mother says, the Bible that he was able to take with him means a great deal to him. And she says, if I understand correctly, you are the reason that he has that Bible and the reason that he was able to take it with him. And she says, thank you. Staying in the Word, as he puts it, is the most important part of his life. And thanks to you, he is able to do that. So before we get started with all this stuff about Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, the vaccine, and all that stuff, I just want to take a moment and just to remind you, this work that we do with the Free Bible Program is the most important work that you and I will ever be engaged in this life. Getting the Word of God to people who need it but can't afford it or can't get access to it. And that letter today filled my eyes with tears when it was sent to me. And that man's mother says to the assistant chaplain, I understand that you are the reason why my son was able to get a Bible. And that's a true statement because she's the one that contacted me after the deputy had been to the bookstore and came back and told her about our free Bible program. And this program is bearing fruit on so many levels. So I want you to keep praying for this program. And if you're able to donate, I want you to donate and be as generous as you possibly can be. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and the donate links are on every single page. This is the most important work that we are engaged in, and the Lord is blessing it to an unbelievable level. And this letter that I just read to you is proof of that, and what a blessing that is. So please keep our free Bible program and the Bibles Behind Bars program in your daily prayers. That would be fantastic. All right. Let's get to the end time stuff. Let's dig right into the podcast today. Donald Trump. Well, he's calling himself the father of the COVID vaccine. Now, here's a problem that you have with that. Today is January 30th of 2023. We have played last Monday's program was where the cartoonist who created the cartoon Dilbert, remember what he said? He said that the anti-vaxxers have won. Remember when he said that? And why did that man say that the anti-vaxxers have won? Because everything that we warned about came true. And the positions that we took are now being vindicated by what everybody around the world is watching happen with adverse reactions to these shots and to these boosters. Well, do you think it's such a good thing to want to advertise yourself as the father of the COVID vaccine? Take a listen to Trump.
I would put a warning on or something on just that particular vaccine, but I certainly would have paused it and gotten front page news all over the world, and then people don't want it, and it probably even affects the others, because, you know, there's a big situation with a lot of people don't want to take the vaccine. Well, this played right into their hands. And they want me to do public service messages and everything about everybody taking the vaccine. And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine, because I was the one that pushed it. You know, to get it done in less than 9 months was a miracle. Fauci said it would take 3 to 5 years. He thought it was something that just wouldn't be that effective because it would take so long to get. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before. I wouldn't exactly say they're in love with me. They have never, this is a very bureaucratic organization. I push them like they've never been pushed before, and that's why we have it. When they did the pause on Johnson & Johnson, I thought that was a very, very stupid thing to do.
Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would. I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly.
So there you have Donald Trump just last week calling himself the father of the COVID vaccine. Now, I'm not a political strategist, and I may not be the world's smartest person, but if I was Donald Trump and I was running for president, you know what the last thing that I would be talking about would be? Anything having to do with the pandemic. If I was Donald Trump running for president in 2024, I would come up with a rock-solid agenda of things that need to get done with the economy, with the border, with the homeless situation in all these Democratic-run cities all across America, with the woke school curriculums. If I were Donald Trump, I sound like Paul Harvey now. If I were Donald Trump. But if I were Donald Trump, I wouldn't be referencing any of this stuff. Not for a second. And instead, he's now calling himself the father of the vaccine. Now, you know what Bill Gates said just a couple of weeks ago? Now, I want you to think about this, too. Here we have Donald Trump calling himself the father of the vaccine. Now, we all know Bill Gates funded 7 different pharmaceutical companies. Bill Gates funds Moderna and Pfizer. Bill Gates is probably the most pro-vaccine person on the face of the earth. And remember what Bill Gates said about the COVID vaccines just a couple of weeks ago? They don't work.
The current vaccines are not infection blocking. They're not broad. So when new variants come up, you lose protection. And they have very short duration, particularly in the people who matter, which are old people. And every one of those things is fixable. In fact, doing that work is going to help vaccinology very, very broadly.
So do you see why I tell you that if I were Donald Trump, that I wouldn't be talking about the vaccine, good or bad? I wouldn't be bringing up adverse reactions? If I was the guy that brought that vaccine to people, I'm not going to want to talk about all the people that got blood clots and pericarditis and myocarditis. I don't want to talk about all the people that died suddenly. I don't want to talk about the people who got strokes just weeks after getting the vaccine. Why on earth would I want to be connected with any of that stuff? Instead, and Donald Trump, if you're listening, this is really good advice and it's free. If I was Donald Trump, I wouldn't reference anything having to do with the COVID vaccine, with the booster shots. But instead, he really can't stop talking about it. So he is labeling himself the father of the COVID vaccine, and we'll see how well that plays out. But it's not going to go well. It's just not going to go well. And you see, that's the problem with Donald Trump, and this may make you mad, but Donald Trump is not a very smart person. He's a crafty person. He's a schemer, but he's really not very smart. And the fact that he has now decided to call himself the father of the vaccine, well, that just tells you how smart he is not. So here we have Donald Trump. He's thrown his hat into the ring, but he's doing it without Ivanka and Jared Kushner. They are in no way helping his campaign. His other two sons, Don Jr. and Eric, have been keeping a fairly distanced approach to their dad's election. And everywhere that you look, there's stories popping up. Says here, poll, Trump leads by double digits in South Carolina. All right. Well, he led by double digits in South Carolina back in 2020, but he didn't win then either. And all across the board, his base, I think it's starting to crumble a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong. I voted for Donald Trump twice. I wrote probably 100 articles about Donald Trump when he was president of the United States. But if you remember why I was supporting Donald Trump, because the Lord told me he was going to put him in office. You know what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2? Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Now, why would God want to put Donald Trump into office? Now, you can come up with all sorts of fancy answers to that question, but I'll give you a two-word answer to that question. If you had to boil it down to two words, why would God put Donald Trump in office? And the two words that I would give you would be Abraham Accords. The Bible says that the Jewish people are going to make a covenant with death and with hell. Will they be at agreement? And I have said ever since August of 2020 that the Abraham Accords is the direct path to the Daniel 9:27 covenant confirmation with Antichrist. Daniel 9:27 says this, "And he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant," Abraham Accords, "with many for 1 week," that's 7 years, "and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So that is my take, my opinion, on why God put Donald Trump in office, and that's why I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. And those Abraham Accords, in terms of end times Bible prophecy, are bearing an unbelievable amount of fruit right now in terms of moving the entire world against Israel. And in the next week or two, Lord willing, we're going to do an update on the Abraham Accords for you. Here's a clip, Donald Trump with Bill O'Reilly. And Trump was telling his supporters to go out and get vaccinated, and they booed him.
Remember, you know, we took care of a lot of people, including, I guess, on December 21st, we took care of Joe Biden because he got his shot. He got his vaccine. He forgot. It shows you how unpainful that vaccine shot is. So everybody go get your shot.
It works incredibly well, 95%, maybe even more than that. It works incredibly well. And I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it. And a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, you know, again, we have our freedoms and we have to live by that. And I agree with that also. But it's a great vaccine. It's a safe vaccine. And it's something that works.
I recommend you take it. But I also believe in your freedoms 100%.
When you have the vaccine, people that do, and it's a very small number relatively, but people that do get it get better much quicker. And it's a very important thing to know. They don't get nearly as sick, and they get better. Lindsey Graham's an example. He said, if I didn't have this vaccine, yes, I would have died.
And you know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Bree, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccine.
The vaccines do work, and they are effective. And here is my thing. I saved millions and millions of lives throughout the world. We could have had another Spanish flu. We could have had, you know, in 1917.
All right, I have to stop that clip right there. The COVID outbreak does not compare to the Spanish flu in any way, shape, or form. 100 times more people died from the Spanish flu than have died so far from COVID. So anytime you hear anybody saying a comparison between COVID and the Spanish flu of 1917, that is an absolute lie.
Close to 100 million people died, they say, but it was really bad. And now other countries are using our vaccines and, you know, tremendous. They're tremendously successful.
You're playing right into their hands when you sort of like, oh, the vaccine. If you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be forced to take it. No mandates. But take credit because we saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you.
Okay. So the president made news.
Do you agree with that? Right?
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
Don't.
All right, so that clip was from a year ago, and you heard all the people who were booing him and disagreeing with him. And if Donald Trump had an ounce of common sense in his brain, the last thing that he would be promoting himself as is the father of the vaccine. But that's what he's doing, and that's where we are, and that's just how it's going to be. One more thing about Trump before we move on to the next topic. Do you remember what the father of the vaccine said in 2020, in December, when he rolled out these vaccines? Remember when he said that he was going to use the military to vaccinate everybody?
One issue that has come up is once you do have a vaccine, how do you properly distribute it? How do you get it out quickly to millions?
Well, when we have the vaccine, we have the military all lined up, and the military is going to be doing it in a very powerful manner. These are people that don't usually do vaccines. They do soldiers, and they do lots of other things that, frankly, are more difficult, but we have our general, and logistically, he's all set. Tony, do you want to say something about that?
That is correct. As the vaccine rolls out, we'll be getting them distributed, and as you probably have heard, we are going to make sure that we do it in an equitable way, and it's representative of the populations who need it the most. and we have the standard way that we determine that with the ACIP working with the CDC, but Dr. Collins and Dr. Redfield have put together with the National Academy of Medicine a group that will fortify that decision-making process so that we're making sure that we're very fair and equitable in getting the vaccine distributed properly.
And I think I could have Francis say that tremendous progress has been made on the vaccine beyond anything that we would have thought if you go back 6 months. What do you think?
It is just, frankly, quite astounding, Mr. President. I've been at NIH for 27 years and director for 11.
All right, we'll stop that clip there. I really can't take much more of that. But there was Donald Trump and Anthony Fauci. And let me ask you this question. Donald Trump was president from 2016 to 2020. Do you remember what his main campaign promise was? His main campaign promise was that he was going to build a wall. And do you know how much that wall was estimated to cost? It was estimated to cost 92% less than all the aid that we've given to Ukraine in the last 10 months. The price tag to build the wall was $5 billion. Now, did Donald Trump build that wall? No, he did not. But how is it possible that Joe Biden is able to push through a $1.7 trillion spending bill and Donald Trump was not able to push through a $5 billion wall? So that's the first question you have to ask yourself. Second question you have to ask yourself, do you remember back in 2016, right before the election? You remember when WikiLeaks released all the emails from Hillary and showed all the wacky and crazy things that were going on behind the scenes with her campaign and with her people? And do you remember how that turned the tide and then Hillary wound up losing the election? And just about everybody contributed that to the release of the emails just days before the election was to take place. Why didn't Donald Trump pardon Julian Assange? He could have. He had the power to do it. Why didn't he do it? All right. Third question. With everything that we know about Anthony Fauci, back in 2010, Bill Gates appointed him to the Global Vaccine Action Board. And I've already shown you pictures from 2001 with Anthony Fauci, with George Soros and Bill Gates Sr. and David Rockefeller. Why didn't Donald Trump fire Anthony Fauci? He could have. He had the power to do it. Why did he not do it? Now, I've just given you three little questions. I could give you 33 little questions right now. But the fact remains that Donald Trump did not do what he said he was going to do. He did not do what he promised to do. He did not drain the swamp. Now, if any of this makes you mad, well, then too bad, because what I'm telling you is the truth. We're not Kool-Aid drinkers here. The only person that we believe 100% is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only piece of media that we accept by faith 100% is the King James Bible. Everybody else, everything else, you got to prove it. And Donald Trump did not keep his promises. He did not do what he said he was going to do. And that's just a fact. Now, I see a number of the people in the chat room have been talking about Prince Charles and the trillions for Antichrist. let's play that clip because it's all tied together. COVID and climate change and the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's all tied together. It's all brought to you by the same people. Take a listen to this.
We have an incredible opportunity to create entirely new sustainable industries, investing in nature as the true engine of our economy.
The current global crisis has disrupted every aspect of our lives, but it has also presented us with an extraordinary opportunity, a chance to reset and accelerate efforts to improve the state of our world.
Changing our current trajectory will require bold and imaginative action, together with determination and decisive leadership. In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model, putting people and planet at the heart of global value creation. If there is one critical lesson we have to learn from this crisis, we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. We are on the verge of catalytic breakthroughs that will alter our view of what is possible and profitable within the framework of a sustainable future. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift, one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. The only limit is our willingness to act. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions, of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition. And the time to act is now.
So there you have Prince Charles talking about giving trillions of dollars to an unnamed man who is going to engage in the military. A vast military-style campaign. And you know what you can do with that clip? You can take him at his word and you can believe what he said. You remember what we were talking about on Friday? I think we did a podcast on Friday. I honestly can't remember. Yes, no, we did, right? Yeah, we did a podcast on Friday. And we talked about how the European Union has expanded their list of insects that are going to be added to the food supply. And we talked about avoiding anything and everything that is labeled sustainable. That is a code word, and you need to have a good understanding of that code word. And every time that you hear the word sustainable, in your mind, I want you to say these two words. I want you to say Soylent Green, because that's where the sustainable movement is taking you. The people behind climate change, they are on a mission and a campaign to reduce the carbon output of this world. Well, have you ever stopped to consider what the largest producers of carbon in this world are? Take a guess. There's 8 billion of them. The world's largest producers of carbon are human beings. And so when they tell you that we need to live in a green, sustainable environment, we need to reduce our carbon footprint, I want you, when you hear these things in your head, when you hear them on the news, when you hear that term sustainable, I want you to start saying to yourself, Soylent Green. The Bible says that a word to the wise is sufficient. So Donald Trump is now the father of the vaccines. If that's the title he's given himself, well, that's what we'll call him. And that's the first problem that he has. The second problem that he has is, guess what? Ron DeSantis is going to run for president. He has not announced, but I am telling you, Ron DeSantis is going to run for president. Ron DeSantis is wildly popular. Ron DeSantis was spectacular as as our governor, as the governor of the state of Florida for the last 3 years. And so what Donald Trump has started doing is he is now trying to minimize and he is trying to get rid of the opposition. And that's problem number two that Donald Trump has. Take a listen to this clip put out by the DeSantis campaign last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Ron DeSantis.
Over the past few years, as so many states in our country grinded their citizens down, we in Florida lifted our people up. When other states consigned their people's freedom to the dustbin, Florida stood strongly as freedom's linchpin. Now we are here today because the people of Florida have validated our efforts in record fashion. Florida shows that results matter. We lead not by mere words, but by deeds. Florida has led the way in preserving what the father of our country called the sacred fire of liberty. It is the fire that burned in Independence Hall when 56 men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a new nation conceived in liberty. It's the fire that burned among the boys who stormed the beaches of Normandy to liberate a continent and to preserve freedom for the world. It's the fire that infused the young preacher's dream, relayed at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, that the Declaration of Independence said what it meant and meant what it said. All men are created equal. It is our responsibility here in Florida to carry this torch. And we thank God and are proud to be citizens of the great, free state of Florida. Thank you. God bless you. God bless this state and everybody throughout the land.
That was released by the DeSantis team a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know about you, but to my way of thinking, that is a campaign announcement without saying he's going to run for president in 2024. And it's funny, I was on Twitter this morning getting the podcast ready today, and I see all these people talking about how DeSantis locked down Florida like all the other states did. Now, you're not going to fool me with that because I live in Florida. In fact, I live in the oldest city in America, St. Augustine, Florida. This podcast is being brought to you live from St. Augustine, Florida. So don't kid me, man. Go kid your grandma. Ron DeSantis did not lock down Florida for one single day. And if he did, then I must have been in a coma because I have no recollection and no memory of being locked down at any point. I have a memory of certain businesses closing. I have a recollection of businesses having different mandates and different requirements. because DeSantis gave the business owners the freedom and the liberty to decide what happened in their establishment. And that's exactly what happens when you live in a free society. Now, before you think that I'm campaigning for Ron DeSantis, which I am not, let me just remind you that all of these candidates, they're all backed by the same people. Am I putting any trust and faith in Ron DeSantis? No, I am not. Am I putting any trust and faith in Donald Trump? No, I am not. I'm going to vote because I have that right as an American citizen, and I'm going to exercise that right whether my vote ultimately counts for anything or not. But do not think for a single second that there's anybody who's going to take on the swamp, that there's anybody who's going to take on the machine, because it's not going to happen. And that did not happen with Donald Trump. The swamp did not get smaller. The swamp got bigger. Take a listen to this clip from our friend Jason A. over on YouTube. This is short, but very enlightening.
It's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial.
And that's why I'm saying the general idea of people coming together to discuss the world's problems is sort of interesting. And, you know, we are a world community, whether we like it or not, because the internet has brought us all together in all sorts of crazy ways. But it's the goal of what these people want. You know, the other main thing that they're pushing at the World Economic Forum is they really want us all pushed towards that metaverse. They want us strapped in with those glasses, living in that Ready Player One. If your audience has not seen the movie or read the book, it was a Spielberg movie a couple of years ago, but it's a book from the 80s, I think. They want us strapped in that digital world. And in essence, we are just the battery. Our carbon bodies are the battery for the digital world. You should also watch The Matrix.
I was going to say, this is literally The Matrix.
There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Literally. We are
The Matrix.
Yeah, wow, fan income.
We're all Keanu Reeves now. Are you Neo? But go to the original Matrix and you can basically figure out what the World Economic Forum's trying to do to us.
Well, yeah, it's quite bizarre.
The World Economic Forum laid out some of those problems in its global risk report. It warns that COVID-19 and the war in Ukraine have thrust the global economy into different times. It says, quote, the resulting new economic era may be one of growing divergence between rich and poor countries and the first rollback of human development in decades.
Just last week, the World Bank warned of a possible global recession. I imagine that will be one of the topics that they'll be talking about.
I think you said it right. It's a creepy event. I mean, these are people that claim to be wanting transparency and openness, but as we discovered this week in our reporting earlier, they hide their own finances, both for the World Economic Forum and for the Klaus Schwab Foundation. It shouldn't be lost on people that this is a group based in Switzerland, which has the most restrictive banking rules, allowing for people, including criminal syndicates, to hide their wealth.
Something outlined in this report is the risk of a polycrisis, which is the word of the moment and the word of Davos. It's essentially multiple global crises happening at once that knock into each other like billiard balls. Is this a new phenomenon?
The difference here is there is an obsession with how everyone else will live their life, while they certainly will not partake in that. These people, I assure you, will not be giving up their gas stoves that their very expensive Michelin star chefs are cooking on. They will not give up their private jets, as you're talking about. They will not give up their Bentleys and their fancy cars as they put us all out of, you know, put all our gas cars out of commission. Everything they do is to control another set of people.
And there you have an assortment of clips from just last week from the headlines. And that's what they are up to at the World Economic Forum. That's what they did last week in Davos, Switzerland. And all of these people that we're talking about are connected to this on some level. Now, you may or may not have heard about the amazing thing that happened with a group called Project Veritas. And they are a video investigative journalism group. And what they do is they put on hidden cameras and they perform sting operations. And they have become quite famous conducting interviews with people from pharmaceutical companies and from Wall Street who wind up telling you what's actually going on. And then, of course, it's captured on video. And then it's a huge rush by the legacy media to besmirch Project Veritas and to minimize their work and never report on that work. But but just last week, Project Veritas got a high-ranking member of the Pfizer Corporation to admit on camera that Pfizer is working on intentionally mutating the COVID virus. Take a listen to Tucker talking about the incredible breakdown of Pfizer as exposed through Project Veritas. This will blow your mind.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. How powerful exactly are the big pharmaceutical companies in this country? Consider the news that did not break today. The pro-transparency news organization, Project Veritas, just released an undercover video of a Pfizer executive bragging on camera about how his company conducts a kind of Frankenstein science, manipulating COVID viruses for profit, imperiling potentially the entire world, doing it in secret, possibly in violation of federal law.
Now, let me just stop him right there. If you had the proof that Pfizer was intentionally mutating viruses for profit, would that not be the biggest story of the day, the week, the month, and possibly the year? If you had audio or video proof from somebody high ranking in Pfizer admitting that they are intentionally mutating viruses to make a profit, that should be the number one story in the world right now. But as Tucker is about to tell you, nobody is talking about it, and the proof has been uncovered.
About this. And you would think every reporter in this country would be itching to follow up on it, calling Pfizer, telling the public about it. But no, that's not happening. In the 24 hours since Project Veritas posted this footage, it has been viewed more than 12 million times on Twitter. No other media outlet has covered the story at all. MSNBC and CNN, which perhaps not coincidentally take huge amounts of advertising dollars from Pfizer, those two channels have devoted a total of 0 seconds to the story. We'll just go online and find out about it. Well, Google, the biggest search engine in the world, which has a monopoly on search in this country, appears to have gone out of its way to make it much more difficult for users to learn anything about the Pfizer executive pictured in the footage.
So Tucker just told you that Project Veritas has video of a high-ranking Pfizer executive admitting that Pfizer is mutating genes, and you're going to hear that clip in just a minute. And then he is telling you that that video was viewed online a minimum of 12 million times. Why is this story not the headline on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, NPR? Why is that story not the number one story? Because they don't want you to know. That's why.
And so there is, in other words, on television and in most places online, a near total media blackout of this story. How powerful is Big Pharma? That powerful. Now, that footage shows a Pfizer executive called Jordan Tristan Walker. He is, according to the documents Project Veritas posted, Pfizer's, quote, director of research and development for strategic operations and mRNA scientific planning. He's just two reports removed from the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla. His name is Jordan Walker once again. Here he is.
You know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating viruses.
Pfizer's thinking about mutating COVID? We're not going to say it to the public. We're quoting, one of the things we're exploring is, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can preemptively develop new vaccines? Now, what is that sound like? Does that sound familiar? Well, it sounds a lot like the gain of function research you read about, the research that was occurring at the Wuhan lab just before COVID broke out of the lab and overturned the world and wrecked the U.S. economy. That was the research that Tony Fauci lied about under oath. Well, in the clip you just saw, the Pfizer executive is careful to say it's not happening right now, but it is something that Pfizer is secretly considering without telling the public. But in another undercover video, also shot by Project Veritas, Walker suggests that research to mutate viruses is ongoing.
Sounds like gain of function to me.
I don't know. It's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like there's... It's definitely not gain of function.
It sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No. No, directed evolution is very different.
Direct evolution?
Directed evolution.
It's not gain of function. Oh, no, it's directed evolution. So if you're wondering how Tony Fauci was allowed to lie under oath and get away with it, the FBI did not raid his house. He was never handcuffed. Maybe it's because he used a different term for the same thing. At Pfizer, apparently, they're just calling it directed evolution.
Well, they're still kind of conducting the experiments on it, but it seems like from what I've heard, they're kind of optimizing it, but they're going slow because everyone's very cautious. Like, you know,
right.
Obviously, they don't want to kind of accelerate it too much.
Yeah.
But I think they're also just trying to do it as an exploratory thing because you obviously don't want to advertise that you're kind of put out future mutation.
Yeah, you don't. They're still kind of conducting experiments on it. You just don't want to advertise that you're figuring out future mutations. And by the way, that's why gain of function research was banned until 2017 when Tony Fauci helped restart it. And the result was, of course, COVID. So Walker, in this tape, made it very clear that Pfizer is worried about a repeat of the COVID lab leak.
You have to be, like, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something like, you know, spills everywhere.
Something crazy.
But is the way that the virus started, it moved on. To be honest, like, it makes no sense that this virus popped out of nowhere.
And, of course, the point is to make money.
I mean, either way, it's going to be a cash cow. COVID will probably be a cash cow for us for a while going forward.
Walker's thought this through. This is not just off the top of his head. He's not stupid. And he's clearly thought through the potential consequences of this research. But he also is honest enough to admit that COVID's been a cash cow for us. Why aren't they regulating a company like Pfizer? Could it be that regulatory capture is real? We don't have to guess anymore because Jordan Walker explains it for us.
It's a revolving door for all government officials.
Wow.
Yeah, for any industry, though. So, like, in the pharma industry, all the government officials who, like, you know, review our drugs, especially yeah. Come work for pharma companies.
You work for Pfizer. My question for you is, why does Pfizer want to hide from the public the fact that they're mutating the COVID viruses?
Is this real life? I'm literally a liar. I was trying to impress a person on a date.
What's your
lie?
Please,
this is
please,
absurd.
Please don't touch me.
Well, this is not, by the way, don't tell anybody.
This is someone who was just working at a company to literally help the public.
So that was the end of it. James O'Keefe of Project Veritas shows up and informs Walker he's been recorded. And he's clearly upset. And, of course, you can understand why. He's shocked. He didn't know anyone was filming. Someone was. But what's so interesting is his first excuse is, I was lying. When, in fact, he has explained in a very sophisticated and very believable way how Washington works. And no executive at a pharma company has ever been filmed saying that on camera before.
So there you have Tucker giving you the breakdown on the amazing video that Project Veritas released last week. And I'm sure the vast majority of you have already seen it. But here you have a high-ranking Pfizer executive admitting all the nonsense and shenanigans that they're up to, and not one single member of the legacy media is even bothering to let you know that that's what Pfizer is actually doing. And there's a reason why the legacy media is protecting Pfizer. You want to know what that reason is? This is the
reason. Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press Data Download, brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet, sponsored by Pfizer.
And there it is. Now you know why no member of the legacy media is ever even going to bother to report on any of the smoking guns that are revealed on any pharmaceutical company. They would rather put your life and your health in grave danger than to expose these people, because these people are being paid off. Pfizer sponsors, you know, this is exactly what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation does. The whole reason why Bill Gates started that foundation was because he needed to do something to counteract the amazing amounts of negative press that his evil deeds generate. So he came up with an excellent idea. Start a foundation that would give, and I'm making air quotes when I say this, start a foundation that would give grants to news organizations to fund study and research. I'm still making air quotes. And then after you've given all these companies hundreds of millions of dollars, they're not going to write bad things about you. They're not going to write the truth about you. They're going to write whatever they have to keep that money coming in from the Gates Foundation. And this is why, and people ask me this all the time, why does the media treat Bill Gates like an epidemiologist? Because he pays them to do that. That's why the media handles him with kid gloves, and why they indulge him in every whim that he comes up with, and why they're constantly putting him up on a shelf as a great philanthropist and an epidemiologist and one of the leading researchers of diseases. He is none of those things. He's not a philanthropist. He is using his vast fortune to purchase public opinion. Now let's switch gears a little bit. We still have about 15 minutes left. And the front page of the Drudge Report today, interesting headline, Zelensky SOS, Putin mobilizing 200,000 more troops. Germany warns against arms race as Ukraine pushes for missiles, jets, and more. Now, this may just be a coincidence. And this clip that I'm going to play for you, it's only 15 seconds long, so you're going to have to listen fast. This clip from last year, somebody asked Alexa, when will World War III begin? So I want you to think about all these things that we've been talking about, and Russia invading Ukraine, and the United States and Germany giving hundreds of billions of dollars and tanks and jets and all these things. This is when Alexa says that World War III is going to start.
Alexa, when will World War III start?
World War III starts on November 23, 2023 at 6:05 p.m., when Russia launches an attack against Germany.
Now, did that just send a little chill down your spine? I'm going to play it again. Did you hear what Alexa said? And this clip is from last year. This clip is from before Russia invaded Ukraine. Did you hear the last part of what Alexa said? I'm going to play it again.
Alexa, when will World War III start?
World War III starts on November 23, 2023 at 6:05 p.m., when Russia launches an attack against Germany.
What have I been telling you for months and months and months and months and maybe 2 years? If I have told you anything about World War III, I have told you that the nation of Germany is going to be front and center in the thick of the action. And the reason for that is because that's where they were in World War I. That's obviously where they were in World War II. God likes to do things in threes. And I have shared with you many, many times, and I'll put this link into the chat room again for those of you that have not read this article. Adolf Hitler was a perfect type of the coming biblical Antichrist. Not just because he was an evil man and not because he killed all these people. You could attribute that to a fair amount of people. You could attribute that to Stalin and Genghis Khan and Mao Zedong, and you could say those things about a lot of people. But the events that took place in World War II in Nazi Germany, if you've ever studied it, and I think last year we did a whole podcast on how the events that took place in Nazi Germany are a picture-perfect type presentation of the coming time of Jacob's trouble. Right down to the fact that Adolf Hitler's ID card was number 555. Now, if Adolf Hitler is a type of Antichrist, and he was, and his ID card was a 555, well, that means he is the last type of Antichrist before the real thing comes along. So I have told you again and again and again for a couple of years now that when World War III starts, Germany is going to be the nation that is going to be front and center in that action. So, one more time, Alexa.
Alexa, when will World War III start?
World War III starts on November 23, 2023 at 6:05 p.m., when Russia launches an attack against Germany.
That was the headline in the news last week, where Putin's people directly threatened Germany last week with a nuclear response. Now, how much faith am I putting in this November 23rd, 2023 prediction of Alexa? I'm not putting a lot of faith in that. But from a circumstantial perspective, that's a fascinating piece of evidence. And when you consider that that clip was made before Russia attacked Ukraine, it's all the more astounding. So this is where we are, January 30th of 2023. Donald Trump is the father of the vaccine, and he's attacking the most popular governor in the country. It's hard to say how his campaign's going to go if that's how it's getting started. I really don't know how it's going to go. Maybe he'll get the nomination. I don't know. I don't really have any feelings about it one way or the other. But in my personal opinion, I don't see him getting the nomination. Now, if he gets the nomination, am I going to vote for him? I probably will. But I really don't see him getting the nomination. We'll just have to see what's going to take place. It's a little too early to tell yet, but we are getting there. So as you see the headlines, and right now the main headlines are the military maneuvers taking place in Europe. That's where World War I came from. That's where World War II came from. And that's where World War III is going to come from as well. I can see World War III starting before the rapture, and I can see World War III starting immediately after the rapture. But if I had to make a case for either one, my money would be on World War III before the rapture. Because that would be an amazing time to remove the church in the midst of the fog and chaos of a global war. Can you imagine what would happen? Germany is attacked by Russia. NATO responds. The United States starts launching stuff. And World War III, World War III begins to do all this amazing, incredible things, and people are starting to freak out. Can you imagine what would happen in the middle of all that? God comes for his church and says, come up hither, and hundreds of millions of people are pulled up into the clouds. That would be a great way for the rapture. That's what I would do if I was God. And we'll just have to see what God will do. But in the meantime, while we wait, and we bring you all these stories about the end times and politics and world governments and world rulers, and but the thing that you and I need to be focused on are the things like that letter that I read to you at the beginning of the program. That letter written by a prisoner's mother saying that the King James Bible that he received in prison, a Bible that you sent to him through the Bibles Behind Bars program, that Bible that was given to that man is the most important thing that he has in his life right now. And you allowed God to use you to pray for our free Bible program, to donate to the free Bible program, and that program is bearing fruit and much fruit. And these are the things. We can talk about the end times all day long, and I love it. It's one of my favorite subjects. But the thing that I like to talk about most are doing the things that will produce works that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. And maybe World War III will begin on November 23rd of 2023. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But you and I are not to be concerned about that. We are to have our CT Studd, he had it right. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And with that, we've come to the end of our broadcast for today. please keep my cough in your prayers. But I'll be honest with you, I did a lot better than I thought I would do. Berta Crab says, please pray for me. I have a Camp Lejeune. That's where the Marine camp base is. That's where boot camp for the Marines is. I have a Camp Lejeune lawyer webinar today. I would like some answers from them. Pray for God's hand on this webinar. And I think that was all the updates. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 7 p.m. for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. Have a great week, everybody.
To be.